the Word of God. You say, what do you mean? Well, think about these marks here that Paul is talking about in verse number 17. What kind of marks were these marks? I would say, first of all, that they are multiple marks. Amen? Paul, he mentions the word marks here, and it's mentioned in the plural form. Amen? Meaning that there is more than one marks that was upon his body. He said, I bear in my body the marks of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, if you live for God, I promise you, the world is going to mark you. Amen. I promise you, the devil's going to mark you. Your flesh is going to mark you. The enemies are going to mark you. But God is going to mark every one of us. There's multiple marks. And then they were ministry marks. I would say that the reason that Paul got these marks was because he was in the ministry. Amen. Had he not been in the ministry, he would have never had these marks upon his body. But because he was faithful, because he preached the gospel, and because he stood for what was right, because of the change that Jesus had made in his life, he has these marks. These are ministry marks in his life. And then I would say they're manifold marks. You could see these marks on the body of the Apostle Paul. He said, I bear in my body, talking about in the physical realm. Listen, the devil had attacked him. The world had attacked him. But Paul not only bore those marks emotionally and mentally, but he bore in his body the marks of the Lord Jesus Christ. And then I would note tonight that these were meaningful marks. Amen. For every mark that was on the body of the Apostle Paul was marked not only by this world, but it was marked by heaven. Amen. It may not have meant anything to those that whipped his back or beat him with rods or put those marks on him, but I promise you there's a record that's been kept in heaven, and the marks that was put on Paul, it meant something to the one that it ought to mean. Amen. It meant something to the Lord Jesus Christ, and it tells us that you and I will never face nothing in this life for his cause and for his honor and his glory that what he will not take note of it. Amen. I'm telling you, serving God means something tonight. It doesn't mean anything to this world, but it'll mean something in eternity if we live for God. These are meaningful marks, and then they're missionary marks. I look across the congregation tonight, and some of our missionary families are here. The Saunders, the Sosbys, the Williams are here. And I thank God for the Andrews are here tonight. We're blessed to have these missionary families working out of our church. I hope I hadn't overlooked a family. It's easy to do that in just a quick moment, but I hope I hadn't overlooked a missionary family. And thank God we've been blessed with enough missionary families in our church that you could easily overlook them. We've got about 11 missionaries and evangelists serving out of our church. And I want to tell you, that's a great honor. That's a great privilege, amen, to have these men and these women going full time and going up and down the road and spreading the gospel and working out of this church. I tell you, it's a blessing to have missionaries, and we thank God for missionaries. Amen. I'm glad nobody in this church has the attitude or has a negative attitude about supporting missionaries or praying for missionaries or giving to missionaries. I'm telling you, they are the heroes of our day. And young people, if you want somebody to look up to you, these missionaries that is selling out and selling all to just for the sake of the gospel. And I know that we all serve God and live for God, but there's a sacrifice that comes with being a missionary. Amen. Brother Jacob Mock, you're a missionary now, and I forgot you. What about that? Fixing to go out. We'll have his commission service next Saturday or next Sunday, ordination service next Sunday. And so they're sacrificing their labor. And Paul has these marks on him because Paul was a missionary, but because Paul was a man of God. Look at this text. Notice in this text here, verse 17, look at the bearing of these marks. He said, for I bear in my body. Paul is bearing these marks, meaning that they probably weren't good to look at. Listen, they didn't look good cosmetically on his body. No doubt these marks wasn't something pleasant to see. I think about our Savior when he talked about Calvary in Isaiah chapter 53. It said there was no beauty that we should desire. Jesus, the Bible said in chapter number 52 that his visage was marred more than any man. I'm telling you, serving God sometimes it may look ugly on the outside. And when I think about Paul, he bore these marks. I don't know where all they were on his body, but no doubt they were visible. And no doubt there was something to look at. They wasn't probably a pretty sight, but Paul bore these marks. These marks had pain that came with them, but he bore the marks. You know, think about today when people don't like to bear much for the cause of Christ. A little bit of criticism, a little bit of, a little bit of mistreatment. We see that a lot of times. From the world and from within. We all face that in our life. But we got to be willing to bear some things. Amen. You cannot serve God. If you're looking to serve God and always just have a bed of ease, you'll never live for God. Bible said in 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 12, yea, and all that shall live godly in Christ Jesus, all that live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. You know, some people's going to talk about us, some people's going to mistreat us simply because they're not right with God. Can I get an amen right there? Some people's going to mistreat us simply because they don't like the way we're living, because they're not living that way. I'm not Lily White, and I'm not perfect tonight. I know that. I know that there's things in my life and that I live in a fleshly tabernacle like everybody else. But let's just face the music tonight. There's some people, they're going to despise you because you dress right. They're going to despise you because you won't give in to their carnality or their worldliness or their sinfulness. And they're going to make little statements. It's like, well, you think you're better than us, or you go to that church down there where they're a bunch of Pharisees and legalists, and you know that's not true, and I know that's not true, and guess what? They know that's not true, amen? But they'll take their little pop shots, and they'll say their little things. You know why? Because they don't want to live for God, amen? I'm telling you, it didn't bother me back then, and it ain't bothering me right now, amen? I'm telling you, let the world go on and do what they want to. Let others go on and do what they think they need to go to. I gladly bear the reproach tonight of being an old-time, old-fashioned Holy Ghost, my friend, independent, fundamental, King James Bible-believing, Bible-thumping, a Christian, amen. We still believe in holiness. We still believe in separation from this world and separation to God. We still believe what we are tonight. And we know that what we are is by the grace of God. I find it funny sometimes when people feel such need to debate such issues. The thought that always comes to my mind is this, is when you're right, you don't have to say anything. I don't have to say anything about this King James Bible. They can have all the debates they want to, but I know I'm right tonight. I know this book is right. I don't have to debate tonight, whether or not I believe in whosoever will or Calvinism. I'm 1,000% against Calvinism tonight. No, I'm against hyper-Calvinism. I'm against whatever. I don't care if you're a three-pointer, four-pointer. That make no difference to me, amen. You say, are you a one-pointer? I believe in a whosoever will gospel, amen. I'm not following some man's works. I'm not following what some man says. I'm telling you, I believe in a whosoever will gospel. I'll bear that. I don't care. They can say what they want to about us. Amen. I believe in eternal security tonight. I believe in everlasting life. Somebody said, well, you believe that once saved, always saved. No, I believe what this book says. I believe for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Amen. I got one question for that crowd that falls from grace. How long is everlasting? Amen. He promised everlasting life, amen, and no man's able to pluck him out of his hand. And he said, my Father's greater than me, and no man's able to pluck him out of my Father's hand. And he said, I and my Father are one. You can't dissect the Trinity, amen. I'm talking about there's just some things in life you're going to have to bear, amen. Now I see the bearing of these marks. I see the body of these marks. Paul said, I bear in my body. In a world that is so self-centered, Paul was bearing marks in his body. Think about today, the people. Now, there's nothing wrong with working out. Y'all can look at me until I work out every day. Amen. There's nothing wrong with working out, nothing wrong with you know, if you lift some weights or if you walk a mile or two or whatever every day. There's nothing wrong with taking, you ought to take good care of your tabernacle that God has given you. We ought to do that. We ought to stay in the best shape we can for the glory of God, but we don't need to be consumed with our bodies. Now, I know when I started out preaching, and maybe they did it even before that. I mean, I remember being a young man, and preachers would get up and preach against women wearing makeup. And listen, if you're a lady and you have a conviction you don't wear makeup, I am by no means am I making fun of that, nor would I ever make fun of that. If that's how you feel and that's your conviction, I say stay with it. I don't have a problem with that one. Amen? But listen, I, at the same time, I'm glad my wife wears a little makeup. I like it. You say, well, preacher, and I remember years ago, man, they pray. Listen, I'm not against makeup, but I'm against cake up. Somebody say amen. Isn't that right? Some ladies got enough on to paint a 57 Chevy, and I don't want, by no means would I be for something like that. Amen. I'm telling you that they got so much green eyeshadow, you know, that when they flash their eyes, it looks like their gallbladder busted, you know. I'm not for something like that. I'm not talking about being vain. I'm not talking about painting up like a Jezebel. I'm not talking about drawing attention to your body. I mean, there's a fine line between being pretty and looking like Bozo the Clown. Somebody say amen right there, and thank God for women that know how to put the right touch on that. But what I'm saying to you tonight is we live in a vain society that thinks so much about self. Paul said, I bear in my body. Paul didn't look like much, did he? But these marks ran deep into Paul's body. Then I see the belonging of these marks. This is interesting. Look at verse 17. Paul said, for I bear in my body the marks, notice this, not of Paul, but the marks of the Lord Jesus. Paul said, look at me. These marks you see on my body, they don't belong to me. Now man put them on me, but these are not my marks. These marks belong to someone greater than I. I'm telling you, listen, the world put a mark on Paul, but Paul said, those are not my marks. Every mark you see on my body, he said, is because I gave my life in serving and dedicating and living for Jesus. Amen. And while I'm on the subject, young people, don't you mark up your body. Amen. Listen, the Bible talks about that in the Old Testament. Now, if you had a tattoo before you got saved, and then you got saved, listen, I'm not beating up on you. Thank God you got saved. And I've been in church services, listen, where somebody just got saved and they had tattoos running down both arms, had sleeves of tattoos. I say hallelujah that God said. I seen a man get saved one night in church up in North Carolina. He had his head shaved, and Brother Lighty had a big old spider web on his head. He came down the altar that night and got saved. I say thank God for that. But I'm going to tell you, if you're a young person tonight and you don't have a tattoo on your body, don't ever go get one. Can I get an amen? Now, the contemporary liberal crowd, that'll just drive them insane, but you let it drive them nuts. Amen. I'm telling you, before that liberal crowd ever showed up, this book told us how to live, and God gave your body. He gave you that body, and the Holy Ghost, if you're saved, dwells in that temple. You don't go get a cross put on your body. You don't go get a Bible verse tattooed on your body. That's not what this book says. It said, don't mark up the body. Amen. Somebody said, that's Old Testament. So is God is our refuge and strength. It's Old Testament too. But it's funny, they'll claim that verse but not claim the other verse. I'm just telling you, friend, hey, you young people look clean, and you got a clean slate, and you don't, listen, don't mess up your body. Amen. That's in that verse somewhere. The belonging of these marks. They weren't worldly marks. They were marks given by the world. And then notice the brethren in these marks. You know what's interesting to me about verse 18 is Paul starts off, brethren. What's interesting to me about verse 18 is after the world had beat marks into the body of the Apostle Paul, he still wasn't bitter at the brethren. Do you know who put these marks on Paul? It was the religious world. But yet Paul still loved the church. Don't get mad at the church for how people treat you. I don't want you to raise your hand because I don't want you to lie tonight. But if I was to ask the question, who in this church has never been hurt in church? Probably the only people that could raise their hand is maybe somebody that just got saved. But if you live for God long enough, there's going to be some things happen. But you can't get bitter at the brethren. Paul, they beat him, they whipped him, they put him in prison, they stoned him, they left him for dead, but he still loved the brethren. I'm telling you, you know why he loved the brethren? Because he loved the Lord. Amen. These marks didn't belong to Paul. He didn't take it personal. I'm telling you, don't take things personal when people attack you in this life because it's going to happen. Amen. They're attacking you for another cause. And they attacked Paul and he had these marks, but he still had a word for the brethren. He still wanted to encourage the brethren. He's closing out this book, but he wants to be a blessing to the church. He wants to be a blessing to the brethren. Hey, there's two kinds of people in a church. There are those who are an asset to the church and those who are a liability. There are those who are a blessing and those who are a burden. You and I have to decide which route we're going to go. I'm telling you, I don't ever want to be a burden to the preacher. I don't ever want to be a burden to the preacher's wife. I don't ever want to cause the deacon board any grief. I don't ever want to be a burden to another member in the church. I want to be a blessing. You hear me tonight? I don't want to go to church and stir the devil up. I want to go to church and be a blessing in the church. Some people can't do nothing but that because they're not right with God. They can't go 6 months without causing problems. And the vast majority of them's never been saved. Well, tonight, think about that. The brethren and these marks. And then notice the blessing in these marks. Look what Paul said. Brethren, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. Paul not only talks about the marks of the Lord Jesus in verse 17, but he talks about the grace of the Lord Jesus in verse 18. Paul, how did you know so much about grace? Because he knew a lot about marks. You see, those marks that they were putting into the back of the Apostle Paul, those marks that they were putting on his life, they were meaning that to bring pain. They were trying to beat Paul into submission, beat Paul into a place where he would deny Jesus. But every time they would put a mark on Paul, and the deeper that mark would go, the deeper the grace of God would go in Paul's life. And the grace of God went deeper than those marks could ever travel. I'm telling you what the world didn't know is that God was using them as a tool just to put his grace a little bit deeper in the life of the Apostle Paul. And Paul said, I can tell you about some marks that are in my body that belong to Jesus, but I can also tell you about some grace that I'd never known about Jesus had I not had his marks put on my life. And sometimes God lets us go through things in life and so that we get marked. And sometimes it is painful and sometimes it does hurt, but he allows that. Why? So that he can work his grace in our life a little bit deeper. And there's the blessing of these marks. And notice the benefit of these marks tonight. He said, brethren, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, watch this, be with your spirit. Notice that word spirit's little s. It's not the Holy Spirit, but Paul's talking about a man's spirit. And Paul, what's interesting is that here is Paul who has been beat with marks and he's got these marks in his life, but he's not bitter over them. In fact, he's got a gracious spirit. You ever heard people say, well, I got hurt and I got bitter? It's because they chose to stay bitter. Paul chose to let the grace of God run deeper than the afflictions of man. And while these marks may have scarred Paul's body in verse 17, we also know that the grace of God strengthened his spirit in verse 18. And Paul was much stronger inwardly than what he was outwardly. And though he was experiencing outward pain, there was an inward peace that was coming in Paul's spirit. And listen, his body no doubt grew weaker, and he suffered pain the rest of his life as a result of these marks. Physically, it handicapped the life of the Apostle Paul, but spiritually, it made him stronger. Amen. Young men are all about their body. You got a heavy box, get a young man to pick it up. He'll go over there and grab it just so he can look strong. And I'll let him do it. Amen. There's a time when I said, no, I get that. Now I'm like, yeah, go ahead and help yourself. Amen. But he's all about that body, that strength. He feels that strength. A middle-aged man is more about the mind. He's not lived as long as an older gray-haired man of God may have lived, but he's lived long enough to, in the middle of life, that he's learned some things. He's made some mistakes. He's learned from some mistakes, and he can look back down life in the past and see some things this way, and he can't see all that's in the future, and he hasn't experienced a lot of things that others have, but he's learned enough at middle age with some experience to know he ought to listen to them gray hairs a little bit more. When you're middle-aged, you value things more than you do in your youth. It's all about the mind. But an older saint, as they grow closer, they grow ready. And they're more about the spirit. If you can get a young man or a middle-aged man more concerned about his spirit than his body and his mind, God can do something great with him. Amen. If you young men would be more concerned about your spirit, and I'm not saying you're not, and you young ladies, than your mind or your body, God will do something great with you. And you can tell a lot about a person by their spirit. The spirit that they bear. You know, I could get up here tonight and preach truth, but if my spirit's wrong, you'll detect it, won't you? I could say the right things, but if I say it in the wrong spirit, if it's a prideful spirit, an arrogant spirit, if it's a bad or a bitter spirit, it's not going to help you none whatsoever, is it? And sometimes in church, if we're not careful, tonight being the Lord's Supper would be a good opportunity for you and I both to examine not just our life. What about my spirit? Is there aught in my heart? Have I said something about somebody that I shouldn't have said? Have I thought something about somebody that I shouldn't have thought? You know, we could have revival in the Lord's Supper tonight. Y'all believe this? And I don't know anybody's life, but if every one of us from this pulpit to the last pew, if we just got our spirits in check tonight, we could have revival. It might be a dad here tonight, you need to get your spirit in check. It might be a mom tonight, a wife, a husband. Might be a teenager. Need to get your spirit in check. Don't let people poison your mind. Amen. You're going to have to ignore 99% of the noise, and that's what it is, that goes on around you, or you'll never have your spirit right. Don't listen to the devil. Don't listen to those evil surmisings that come into your mind, them little seed thoughts that so-and-so don't like you. So-and-so said something about you. So-and-so looked at you the wrong way. So-and-so thinks that. You have to dismiss all that. Am I right tonight? Or you go home and dwell on something long enough, what started out just a thought becomes reality. Evil communications can corrupt good manners. Y'all believe that tonight? It's in that book. You watch somebody with a long tongue. Amen. You watch somebody likes to run people down. Amen. They'll run people down to you. You mark it down. They'll run you down later on. You build a wall around that. You say, preacher, do I love them? Yes, you love them, but you love them from a distance. That tears some people up. That's why I say it every time. Love them from a distance. You say, why? That means you shake their hand, you be kind to them. But I'll tell you something, they got a serious problem. Amen. And it can affect you tonight spiritually. It can get you all fouled up where you can't worship. It'll get you all fouled up where you can't pray. Get you all fouled up where you can't get nothing out of your Bible reading. If you're not careful. I remember one time going to a place of business. And I always dreaded going to this place of business but I had to do business there. Because the person that worked there, I mean, there's no nice way for me to say it, but I'll try to find the nicest way to say it. But the person was just, they were just a very bitter person. You could see it. They was always in a foul mood. And one day they hired somebody, then they hired this other lady that worked there, and I remember telling my wife, I like going there now because, you know, I try to work it out where I have to deal with that lady and not the Nazi lady. You know what I'm talking about? Because she's nice. And so I would try to work it out because she was just pleasant, you know, to do business with. And here's what I noticed over weeks and months. That nice, kind lady became what that other lady was. Working with her every day. Talking with her every day. She poisoned her. You and I have to be careful about that, don't we? As parents, as spouses, we have to be careful. Why? Because what's important when we come to the end of life, let me tell you what's going to happen if we live long enough. If all of us live long enough, here's what's going to happen. Our body's going to deteriorate. It's going to fail. Our mind is going to deteriorate. It's going to fail. We're going to get forgetful. We're going to get to the place where our mind's just going to start. It doesn't get better the closer you get to the end. But your body and your mind may deteriorate, but your spirit never has to change except in one sense. It can get stronger. The mind and the body may go, but wouldn't it be great when you got down to the end of the crossing? If it could be said that you and I was like Daniel of old, we had an excellent spirit. How about it tonight? What kind of spirit do we have? I want to come and get us a song ready. Paul, this man of God, you know what I've seen in the life of the Apostle Paul? The last thing he leaves with him is a spirit of grace. Spirit of God, the Spirit of the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, I thought one day when I read that verse, and he also says the same thing in Philemon, I thought about when I walk away from talking to somebody, what kind of spirit do I leave with them? Are they better off spiritually or are they worse because of my conversation? What did I leave with that person that I just communicated with? Tonight as we stand, I don't know anything about your life, and this altar call may have nothing to do with what I preached on tonight. This is just an invitation. If something I said you need to come pray, come pray. But if tonight, if you need to come pray, just to come pray before you partake of this supper, then I want you to do that tonight. We'll give a verse of invitation. And you take whatever opportunity you need to come and just examine yourself as the Word of God says. We'll read that in just a moment.